Now, from Hollywood, Romance. Romance. Transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, Love and Adventure Among the Abalones. It's from a story by Anthony Trollope, adapted by Fran Van Hartesfeldt, and stars Stacey Harris and Virginia Gregg in Bill Gunn's Mermaid.
I'm Bill Gunn. When I got old enough for Mr. Whiskers to put the finger on me, I enlisted in the Navy. Me and Pa and Ma lived in Borger, Oklahoma at that time, and I wanted to gander at the ocean. Well, the Navy was okay, but there wasn't no action, and Ma and Pa got lonesome for me, so when my hitch was up, I blew. They'd moved to a little farm north of Monterey, California, and doggone, man, that's real knocked-out country. There's huge cliffs that the ocean boils up to, all blue and green and foamy white. Little spits of sandy beach, and there's rocks, all kinds of them. Big ones with a gull snooze, and flat, slippery ones that you see only when the tide's out. Crazy, jagged ones in the cove. I bought me a little beat-up skiff, muscle-powered. Days when the sea wasn't kicking up too rough, I'd sort of explore the coastline. I'd feel kind of like this Balboa guy or whoever he was, but once when I took the old man along, it didn't exactly give him the same kind of a send.
We got to them rocks, Bill.
Huh?
Crying out loud, Pa. You beef because I was out too far, and now a couple of little rocks panic you.
Well, from now on, I'll just look at the ocean. Now, what are you doing?
I'm going to beach her in this cove. You can climb the path behind that little shack up there, and you won't be more than a mile from home.
Now, cut the comedy, Bill. Them rocks will stove us in before you're close to the beach.
Oh, Pa, look, I'm a sailor. The sea's as calm as a cattle trough.
Now, cut it out, son. Bill, watch it.
Pa, you're green. Are you seasick or just scared?
I'm both. Now, don't go in no closer. That's old man Trent's shack on top of everything else.
Who's old man Trent?
Meanest old coot in California. Filthy, hippie-legged old fisherman. Like as not, he'd take his shotgun to us if we was lucky enough to make it as far as his lousy beach.
Oh, go on.
Now, I mean it. Now, don't go no closer, Bill.
Why, if you're getting seasick...
I'd rather be sick than dead. Now, come on. Oil this boat back to where we started from.
Well... Hey!
Look, a mermaid!
Come on, scram out of here. This is a private
pole. Flops right up out of the ocean. A sure enough mermaid.
Mermaid, nothing. That's old French granddaughter.
Oh, mermaid, you stinking abalone poacher.
Oh, you got us all wrong, sweetie. Me and that old man of mine were just out for a little pleasure cruise.
Let's go, Bill.
Oh, see, your old man guns, big hero sailor boy, huh?
Radar man, first class, William L. Gunn, United States Navy, retired.
Well, retired of your old man's artichoke patch. The one abalone died for him someplace else.
Hey, I never did get to hang how you harvest them abalones. Maybe you'd like to teach me, huh?
Bill, roll this thing out of here.
I'll give you one lesson, wise guy. You dive down, see? Only you wouldn't be man enough to hold your breath. You pry the abalone off the rocks with his hooked iron bar, see?
Oh, now, ain't that interesting.
If I ever catch you in my cove again, I'll break your head open with this bar.
They're terrible folks, them Trents. Here, here's more of them fried meat gravy, Billy, sonny.
No. No, thanks, Ma. I'm going to save a little room for dessert.
Oh, I declare. That miserable Navy food seems like it spoiled your appetite for good home cooking.
Why, he ate three helpings, Ma. Well, like I was telling you, Bill, me and your Ma went down to the ocean by way of Old Trent's Path after we first moved here.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed we was knocking the rocks loose and run us off the property. Yeah, swore like everything.
Mm. What'd the girl say?
That was before she come to live with him. She showed up, six, 7 months ago, after he got too crippled up to climb his miserable path with his miserable fish.
She ain't a bad-looking dish.
Billy, sonny, you should hear what they say about her in town. In fact, you should hear her.
I've heard her.
Bill just teasing, Ma. He wouldn't have no truck with her after her offering to bash his head in.
What?
Yeah, sure. Said if she ever caught me in a cove again, she'd bust her old tire iron over my skull.
Well, just let her try it.
I'd like to see her out of the water sometime. Wonder if she's got a tail like a fish.
Billy!
Bill! Don't talk coarse in front of your ma.
You heard of mermaids? Well, man, I call her that. She'd like to blew a stack.
You stay away from the trench, Billy. They ain't our kind. Well, you boys ready for a little cobbler?
Yeah, sure, Ma.
Yeah, you bet. Let me have your plate, Bill.
I made this with them California boysingberries. Not as tasty as the little blackberries back home, seems to me.
Oh, this tastes great, Ma.
Yeah, your Ma ain't quite used to California yet, Bill. I keep asking her if she's Oklahoma sick.
Ain't your father kind, though?
Oh, man, he's the most. Are you, Ma? Homesick, I mean?
Why, not now, Billy, sonny. Not when I got you to cook for her and do for her again.
Well, I sure go for the cooking, Ma. Hey, Ma, if I was to bring home some of them fancy abalones, would you know how to fix them?
Anything else, Grandpa?
No. Maybe a mite dab of the mackerel.
Tastes okay. I ain't much of a cook.
You fixed it nice, Molly. I'll have another drop of the tea, too.
I got some Irish whiskey when I was in Marina today. You want a little slug in your tea? Put it up here where you can't reach it. I don't want you swilling the whole bottle down in one day.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
On a pig's eye, you wouldn't. I saw the lawyer guy when I was in town, too.
Oh? What did he have to say?
Big stupid lug. He claims we can't stop anybody from taking abalone, only except straight out from the property line of the house. Is that enough, Grandpa?
Oh, maybe a drop more. Oh, why don't you have a drink yourself, Molly?
Me? Liquor's poison.
Oh, not to me it ain't.
Sure it is. I'm just trying to poison you so I'll inherit your dough.
Good for you. The law can't keep the gun lad out of the cove, eh?
So the shyster says, and he charges me $5 to say it. Well, I told him off good.
I'll just bet you did.
I called him every kind of a rotten, thieving skunk in the book. And I told him I'd kill that stinking farmer boy if I ever catch him diving inside the property line.
Good for you. Of course, it don't look like young gun's ever going to find an abalone, let alone take enough to matter.
He swims pretty good. And he ain't afraid to stay down.
Well, as long as he don't aim to harvest commercial. And as long as him and his clodhopper folks don't try to use our path up the cliff.
I gotta do some work on the path. I can hardly get up myself with a big sack of abalone.
Oh, me, I wish my hips hadn't give out. Makes me sad to see a slip of a girl like you wrestling them stones to make steps. And diving around them spooky rocks to prize the abalones loose.
Ah, go on, you lazy old bum. You love it. Just sitting around and lushing it up. And the abalone's bringing a lot more dough than you made with your stinking live bait nets when you could still handle the boat to set 'em.
Oh, I got it soft. All right. And don't think I don't love you for it, Marley, darling.
Shut up. Here, let me pour you another slug.
Well, just a mite drop. You know, my hips is getting better, Molly. I worked my way clear out to the sand this morning. Sat there for a while in the sun.
You should not. The doc says you got to keep quiet.
Made me feel good to watch you. You clambered around the rocks so graceful. You dived so slick and pretty. And sometimes when you'd come up shaking the drops out of your hair, it was almost like I was seeing a mermaid.
Lay off that mermaid stuff, Grandpa, unless you want this bottle busted over your head.
I just thought I'd watch you a while.
I'm quitting for the day.
Oh, don't let me scare you away.
You scare me? That's the biggest laugh I had since the sharks ate my kid brother.
Here, grab this line. The Navy's landing.
Okay, I'll grab your line and...
What's the big idea?
I hope you can swim, Buster. I ain't coming in after you.
Look, I'll outswim you any day. Now, look, what's the idea of jerking the skiff up against the rock that way? You probably stove her in.
That was a general idea. That and drowning you.
Well, you doggone it. Hey, what are you doing?
Well, the scow got loose somehow, didn't it?
Man, you got a disposition like a fly-bit herd bull.
Oh, don't worry about your boat. The eddies will beat you. Of course, the rocks will make kindling of her on the way.
Well, you just outsmarted yourself, sweetie. Now I'll have to set foot on your private beach to recover. And if she ain't seaworthy, I'm going to even have to use your private path up the cliff to get home.
The path ain't for you, and neither is the beach. You can swim back to where you started from, or you can stay here on the rocks till the tide washes you off.
How'd you like a good punch and a kisser?
How'd you like this abalone iron busted over your thick skull?
I've heard that somewhere before. Man, a guy with any brains at all would give up on you and start making passes at Dracula's daughter. Come on, I'll help you haul up some more abalone.
Got enough. Tide's too high anyway.
What's that got to do with it?
Bad eddies under the surface. They can mash you against the rocks or even pin you in an underwater cave.
Who are you trying to kid?
I ain't kidding. That's why I quit, just before you come poking your ugly snoot where you ain't wanted.
Well, the currents might toss you around a little. You don't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. Wouldn't bother me. This is 195 and all muscle.
It's all muscle where your brains are supposed to be. Come on. If you can make your way back over the rocks without falling in, you can have your boat.
Oh, gee, thanks. Now, look. I'll get you just one more nice big fat abalone, huh?
I told you it ain't safe, you jerk!
I'll find one big enough to make you a mother-of-pearl mermaid's tail out of the shell.
Oh, hey, stupid duck! I wouldn't take an abalone off of him if there was a diamond inside it. Where'd he get on that mermaid kick anyhow? I ought to busted him with the iron. He's going to show me how long he can hold his breath, huh? Jerk. I wish he'd... The water wasn't so dark and roiled so as I could see him. Something down there. Something red stained in the water. Something red like blood. It is blood. I got to go in for him.
We'll return to romance in just a moment. Fame and fortune unquestionably add excitement to life. But for an aging opera star, life itself seems to lose meaning when her career comes to an end. How she grapples with the readjustment to a less glamorous existence is a moving story you'll want to hear on City Hospital today. For a realistic drama of a human being in conflict with herself, don't miss The Singer, just a short time from now when City Hospital is on the air on most of these same stations. And now for the second act of Romance.
Don't die on me. Now.
Molly! I can't get over them rocks, girl. I can't.
Stay there, Grandpa. I'll make it.
Who you got there?
He's hurt awful bad, Gramps.
Oh? Who is he?
The gun kid.
It is him. Oh, me.
Help drag him up in the sand a ways. Oh. Beyond the tide line. Here, careful.
I'm trying, girl. Oh, hole in his head big enough to put your fist in.
Yeah.
Oh, Molly, if you had to bash him with the iron, why don't you leave him out there?
Oh, you're crazy. I didn't tonk him. He was showing off. Said he'd help me with the abalone. This is far enough, I guess.
Oh, he's bad off, girl.
He must have cracked his skull against a rock when he dove. I warned him, but... Grandpa, he ain't breathing.
Let's see. No. Don't seem to be.
He moaned a little while I was dragging him in. Bill. Bill, say something.
I'm afraid he's done for, Molly.
Grandpa, I'll run for the whiskey. Try to get a drop on him while I go for his phone.
No. Don't do that.
I've got to. They're the closest.
They'll say you murdered him.
What?
You threatened him in front of his old man. He even told the lawyer you'd kill him. And he's a goner, Molly.
Oh,
now, look, darling, look. Maybe we can get him in his boat and somehow get it out beyond the cove. No one saw what happened out there, and no one can see us now.
No.
But you'll go to prison, maybe the electric chair.
You've got to try to get life back into him some way, Grandpa. And I got to go up for his pa and ma. Let me help you, Mrs. Gunn.
Don't you dare touch me. Where's our boy at?
Easy now, Ma. Girl said he's lying down on the beach. Oh, doggone steep pass. You ought to do something about it.
We ain't got around to it.
Don't wait for me, Paul. Hurry to where Bill is at. I'll get there.
All right, Ma. We'll slide on ahead.
It ain't far now.
How'd Billy get hurt?
Accident. Diving. I told him to stay away from here.
You're all bruised and scratched. How'd that happen?
None of your business. There. Just around the house now. Grandpa's with him.
He better be all right.
Grandpa? Did he come around yet?
No, not yet. It ain't no use, Molly.
Did you try to... Oh.
Bill. Bill, boy.
See, I put the blanket under his head and I tried pouring a drop of whiskey into him. He don't even flicker his eyelids.
He feels kind of cold-like.
Wrap the blanket around him, Grandpa.
Yes.
Here, I'll try to rub the circulation back.
How'd he get that wound in his forehead?
He cut with the blanket, Mr. Gunn.
Where's my boy? Where's... Billy, sonny.
Keep your hands off him, you miserable.
I'm only trying to
get away from him.
Now, look here, mister.
You two stand back.
Oh, Billy, sonny. Oh, will he be all right? He's so still. Oh, Billy, say something to me.
He's dead, Ma.
Oh, no.
She done what she threatened to do.
Oh.
Drove that iron bar right through his head.
I didn't. If you'd only let me explain.
Leave your filthy paws off my Molly. The boy hit his head diving. Trespassing.
Liar. You murderess. Lucky for you, I'm a God-fearing man, or I'd have your life for Billy's right here now without waiting for the law.
I never murdered him.
Murderess. Oh, Ma, you've got to pull yourself together for a little while. The doctor's on his way up to our place. We've got to get Billy up the cliff some way. Maybe it ain't too late. Maybe the doctor can...
I'll help you get him up the cliff, Mr. Gunn.
Get away.
Carried him over the rocks away from the mouth of the cove, and I can... Mr. Gunn, look! His eyelids, they're moving.
Oh.
Where? Billy.
Billy, sonny. It's your ma, Billy.
Where's the mermaid?
Don't you go calling me no mermaid, you crazy show-off.
You were so right about those rocks underwater, Toots.
The name's Molly. Don't try to talk no more now.
Yeah, you just lie still, son.
Molly. Man, that's a pretty name.
Well, the next thing I know, the shore patrol was there. Hundreds of them, it seemed like. And they're all blowing their whistles, swinging their clubs. Oh, I tell you, you should have seen the native girls disappear.
Master, if trouble don't come looking for you, you go looking for it, don't you?
Well, you know where I ended up? In the brig.
That figures.
No, you haven't heard the end of it, Molly. That night, when everybody was in the sack, the Admiral himself comes down, unlocks the door, and lets me out.
Oh, in a pig's eye.
He did, because he was the guy who ducked out the back door of the hut while I was conning the native chief.
Oh, for crying out loud. You expect me to believe...
Yeah. Oh, hi, Pa.
Sorry, kids, but you've already been chilling 15 minutes longer than the doc said Bill ought to be awake. And Ma's got a nice lunch all set out for Miss Trent.
Hey, this stuff is swell. How'd you get that sweet taste, and yet it ain't really sweet?
Well, the receipt calls for molasses, only I use half molasses and half honey.
Well, I'll be a monkey's great aunt. I'm going to try it tomorrow. Gramps will fall over in a faint when I spring with an upside-down cake.
Well, you better take along a jar of honey with you, then. You can't get no good honey in California. We always send back home for it. Different kind of bees, I guess.
Well, this is sure swell.
Oh, say, there's one thing I've been meaning to ask you, Molly. How do you fry them bolognese so they ain't tough?
It ain't necessary for you to see me all the way home, Mr. Gunn.
Young lady shouldn't be out by herself this time of night. The boy look all right to you, did he?
Oh, sure.
Better than yesterday?
Sure, his color come back more every day. He gets fresher.
I suppose you think me and the old lady sets an awful lot of store on Bill. But he's all the kids we ever had.
You don't set too much store by him. Bill's a good guy.
Yeah, wind's pretty gusty. And the path's pretty tricky in the dark. Maybe you ought to hold on to my hand, Molly. I got eyes like a cat. So I got these two fellas to help me out, Trent. They'll be here tomorrow. Build regular steps and fix up a railing so you can haul yourself up and get into town once in a while.
Say, that's awful nice, Gunn. I'm grateful. I sure am.
Oh, nothing to be grateful about. The dead beats never would have paid me what they owe me anyways. Might as well take it out in useful labor.
Now, you've got a head on you. Say, Molly, why don't you pour me and Mr. Gunn just a mite drop more?
Well, that's how it went for a few weeks, and first thing you know, me and Molly got hitched. I got me a job selling cars in Monterey. Doing great. On account of I got a sensational sales personality, if I do say so myself. We built us a little joint up on the cliff, kind of between the folks and her grandpa, and we do our abalone diving on weekends.
Come on out now, Muscles. We got enough.
I ought to dive once more, Molly. I still want to find one big enough to make that Mother of Pearl mermaid's costume for you.
Listen, Buster, you wouldn't be happy with no mermaid. Now climb back up on this rock and give me a kiss before I come in and haul you out.
Romance is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Today's story was written by Anthony Trollope and adapted for radio by Fran Van Hartisfeld. Featured in Bill Gunn's Mermaid were Stacey Harris and Virginia Gregg. Others in the cast were Ralph Moody, Paula Winslow, and Joseph Kearns. Musical supervision by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cubberly inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. Highlights from a leader recital by Irmgard Seyfried and excerpts from the Berlioz Requiem as conducted by Dimitri Metropoulos at the Salzburg Music Festival will provide the excitement this Sunday when World Music Festivals comes your way again on most of these same stations. Stay tuned for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.